Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. In the beauty of the day, we come to worship the God of all days. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if this is your first time with us or you've just recently begun attending, we're pleased that you're here. And those of us who are here on a regular basis want to meet you, want you to feel at home. So we'll be trying to find you and shake your hand and welcome you, won't we? I need to see some heads nodding. Mm-hmm, we will. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come and introduce yourselves to us, because we do want to know you, and we'd love for you to find a home here with us. One way to make yourself at home is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can read about that in your bulletin insert, but I'm going to list a few things. First of all, third grader Anna Bigelow is collecting cotton fabrics in support of Thistle Farms. Now, the fabric needs to be 100% cotton. If you have such fabric, there's a bin on the first floor next to the elevator. You can bring the fabric and leave it there by October 13th. The ladies at Thistle Farms will use the cotton to make rag paper to sell to help support that ministry. And Anna thanks everyone in advance for your help with this project. Also, in a few weeks, our Room in the Inn program will begin on November 6th, and it will continue weekly on Wednesday nights through the end of March. Now, if you'd like to sign up to volunteer, and I know many of you have volunteered in the past, there's a board in Reed Hall where you can sign up. There'll be folks out there you can talk to, you can learn more, or you can call Sarah McCormick and learn more about this important ministry. But we appreciate all of you who have volunteered for Room in the Inn in the past. And for those of you who haven't, you might want to give it a try. It can be a life-transforming experience. Adam Hamilton says that the Christian faith is always one generation away from extinction without committed leadership to children. I'm going to sing a song again that you've heard me sing before. We need Sunday school teachers. We need folks to join the team for second grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade. And we really just need one person in each of those grades. So if you felt led to influence the life of the child, and it might make the difference in that child's life for the rest of their life, be in touch with Becky Peeler and let her know that. The Hobbit, if you haven't seen it yet, your last chance is this afternoon, 3:30. It says 4:30 in part of the bulletin insert. Don't believe that, believe me. It's at 3:30, fourth-story theater, and I know you will appreciate it and enjoy it if you decide to come. Also, our charge conference, our yearly charge conference, is October 24th at 6 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. If you are a member of church council, you are expected to be there, but any church member is invited to be there. It's a time when we talk about the ministries that have gone on this past year and look forward to the ministries in the coming year. Do you have any idea how loved you are? That you were beloved of God before you even knew who it was loving you? And you will be loved beyond any consciousness that we think of as consciousness. And guess where you find that out? Right here.
Hallelujah. We gather in this place, some of us empty, some filled, some whole, some broken. We come as an ordinary people,
trusting that God will continue to work in our hearts.
And we surround the table of grace. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please join me now in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Hear this reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we're right about a third of the way through our work with John Wesley's General Rules. We have worked through do no harm, and now we move to the positive side of that, do good. Now, do-gooders sometimes get a bad reputation, and that's used as a disparaging remark. Oh, these do-gooders. Sometimes folks who do good are perceived as doing it for their own credit, so they will get credit for doing something or to earn something from someone. But it's interesting to see what Jesus has done just prior to the reading that you heard Sarah read. He was going around doing good. In fact, he was described in the Gospels as the one who went around doing good. He was proclaiming the kingdom of God, which is here and now, God at work in the midst of us, not some pie in the sky by and by when you die, not some heaven out there. It is God at work here and now. And Jesus was demonstrating that. He had the leader of a synagogue who came and said, "My daughter has died. Please come." And so Jesus went with him. Well, the leader of the synagogue was a powerful man. No surprise that Jesus would go with him. But along the way, a woman approached him who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had not been able to find a cure for this. And she believed that even if she touched the fringe of his garment, that she would be healed. And so she came close enough just to touch the very hem, the very fringe of his garment. And indeed, the hemorrhage ceased. When Jesus realized what was going on, he doesn't claim credit for it. He doesn't say, "You've come to the right place if you want your healing." He doesn't make a big show of it like many of our healers on television have over decades and decades. He simply says to her, "Your faith has made you whole." And she went her way. He gets to the house of the leader of the synagogue, and they're already singing the funeral dirge, playing the flutes, because they are holding a wake for this young woman who has died. When Jesus gets there, he said, "Stop that. She's not dead. She's just asleep." He walks in. He takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and she comes with him. She gets up. He goes from that place, and there are two blind men who want him to heal them, so he touches their eyes. Do you notice how much touch plays a role in this? First of all, the woman touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Now, under the purity laws, since she had been bleeding for so long, that should have rendered Jesus ritually unclean. So not only does he help the powerful man, the head of the synagogue, but this woman who would be considered unclean also receives the benefit of his presence through touch. When he goes into the house of the leader of the synagogue, he takes the hand of the young woman and lifts her up. When the blind men want him to cure them, he touches their eyes. Now, we talk a lot in our time about harmful touch, and we warn our children about that, but we don't spend enough time talking about healing touch. The touch that without which we wither away. There are studies that have been done that show that children who are not held, who are not touched, in their earliest days don't develop properly. For some of us, we reach a stage where our partner is dead, we are all alone, and the only people who touch us are doctors and nurses and therapists who are performing a procedure on us. And it's a lonesome existence. Helpful, healing touch is incredibly important, and Jesus knew that. And he practiced that. That's why we use the metaphor touch. That story touched me. That anthem touched me. Well, it didn't literally reach out and touch you, but it went someplace deep. And it did touch you. So Jesus touched people with his hands, but he also touched people by his words and by his actions. He encountered a man who was mute because he had been possessed. Jesus drove out the demon. The man was able to speak. Jesus doesn't touch him. Not literally, but he is touched by Jesus' presence. And then Jesus begins to reflect on why we do this. Jesus didn't do it to get credit because, after all, he didn't make a big show out of the woman being healed. When the two blind men were healed, in fact, he gave them instructions not to tell anyone, which of course meant they went out and told everybody, right? He wasn't doing it to get credit. He wasn't doing it to earn anything. Oh, he has a motive, and the motive is made quite clear in the reading. He had compassion on the people he saw, because they were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Shepherd is used frequently in Scripture to talk about leaders and leadership. There are good shepherds. There are bad shepherds. Of course, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd helps the sheep to find water, to find food, protects the sheep when wild animals come along, and directs the sheep as to where they need to go. Sheep without a shepherd just kind of scatter. Whether they find water, whether they find food is purely by chance. And Jesus saw these folks who were broken, who were hurt, who were harassed, whose love had failed again and again and again, and he had compassion on them. And reached out and touched them, some with his hands, some with his voice, some simply with his presence. Now, he had a purpose beyond the motive. Those two things are different. And the purpose that Jesus has in reaching out to people is so that they can be drawn closer to God. So we can all recognize we are beloved. Some of us remember that. Some of us remember that part of the time. Some of us remember that a little bit of the time. But there are a lot of us out there, because we have never been loved in our families, in our communities, and haven't experienced it, have no sense that we are beloved by God, each and every one. Our job in doing good is not to earn favor with God, is not to get credit for it from other people. Our job is exactly what Jesus' job was, and that is to feel compassion and to reach out, let people know how loved they are, and draw them closer and closer to God. That's our job description. That's why we do good in the first place, because God has loved us we're able to love other folks. Because when our love fails, God's love remains steadfast. We are able to love other folks. And we're even able to love ourselves when our love does fail. And it will. Again and again. There was a rabbi, and he had a kind of startling theology. It was not at all orthodox. He went around preaching that sinners were closer to God than righteous people. Now, this may sound a little bit familiar because, after all, Jesus said there's more rejoicing in heaven when one sinner turns to God than when any number of righteous people do. So this is fairly similar, but it was kind of shocking to the people of his time because, you know, all of us righteous people, you know, those of us who come to church, things like that, surely we're closer to God. This rabbi said, no. And I'll tell you why. He said, when God created the world, every person was attached to God by a thread, and each thread was exactly the same length. And every time we turn away and our love fails, every time we sin, we cut that thread. And God reaches out and pulls it back and ties it together. And since that knot takes up some of the rope, that sinner's a little closer. And then we turn away and our love fails again, and God reaches out and grabs that thread and ties it again, and we're a little closer. That's why we invite everyone to this table. We are throwing out a lifeline. We are tying that thread that connects people to God. We are allowing people to recognize how loved you are. You don't have to be United Methodist to be loved. You don't have to be Christian to be loved. You are loved because of who God is, not because of who you are. I am loved because of who God is, not because of who I am. And so, when we invite people to share in this meal, to come and share this with Jesus as we retell the story, we're reaching up and we're helping people tie themselves back to God. And God, tie that person back to the love that loved them before they knew anything and would love them after all consciousness was gone as we understand it. That's our calling. That's our welcome. That's why we do good. And perhaps the greatest good we can do is simply to invite people to recognize how loved they are, to come and share in the love that we all share, and to send them forth to share it. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. What a tremendous blessing that God has called us together for worship today. If you are a guest, please join us for a time of fellowship after the service in Reed Hall through the doors to your right. If this is your first time here, please stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you will find a fresh baked gift as well as information about the exciting things happening around here. Please note the gray cards in the pew racks. One side is for any comments or questions for staff or lay leadership. And the reverse side is for any prayer requests you may have. Make sure to note if your prayer request should remain confidential, and this card may be placed in the offering plate in just a moment. Please pass the attendance pad down your row if you have not done so, and when it reaches the end, pass it back down the row and take note of those who are present with us in worship today. This morning, our sympathy is extended to the Cowden family. Dr. Frederick Eugene Cowden died Saturday, September 28th. Services were held on Saturday, October 5th. Among his survivors are his grandsons, West End members Steve, Mark, and John Cowden. God has graciously given all that we have. As a people of faith, let us return thanks through our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God of grace and mercy and peace, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. You called us into communion with your followers all around the world. And so with those followers across the globe, all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to announce that this was the time that you had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread and offered thanks. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper was over, he took the wine. He offered thanks. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, barei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. And he passed it to his disciples, said to them, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now I invite you to join me as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ, broken for you and for all. The blood of Christ, poured out for you and for all. Today is World Communion Sunday, and around the globe, Christians are all celebrating communion on this particular day. And we thought, since that was the case, we might offer an invitation to communion in several other languages that will be spoken in other places, other parts of the world, as our brothers and sisters are invited to communion today.
Cristo, nuestro Señor, invita a su mesa quienes le aman, a quienes verdadera y sinceramente se arrepienten de sus pecados y procuran vivir en paz y amor con el prójimo.
Pán Ježiš pozýva k tomuto stolu všetkých, ktorí ho milujú, ktorí vedome ľutujú svoje hriechy a chcú žiť v láske a v mieri s ostatnými.
Christus, unser Herr, lädt alle an seinen Tisch, die ihn lieben, die ihre Sünde eingestehen und die miteinander in Frieden leben wollen.
This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you are seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We ask that you come by way of the center aisle. When you kneel and are ready to receive, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. Once you've communed, you're welcome to remain at the rail for a time of prayer if you choose. And then when you do return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew for any reason, please catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. We do take an offering at our communion service, and our offering this month is for our Room in the Inn ministry. I mentioned that during the announcements. There's sign-up boards outside in Reed Hall, but we've been doing this a number of years. It's a ministry to homeless persons, and if you would like to support that, not simply as volunteers, which many of you already have, but with your funds as well, there are two offering plates next to the front pew here. You may leave your offering there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things. Amen. Now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore.